quack, 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 quack.
All right, it is officially the Duck Hodges dynasty in Pittsburgh. Welcome to the Birds and the Bird Football Podcast, episode 24, round two. Round two. Me and Jay just got finished recording like a 40-minute episode, only to realize none of it recorded. So we're going to go over this one more time, probably quicker than the last time because we have stuff to do. So joining me as always is Jay, what's up, man?
I'm sorry you guys missed the best episode we ever did.
I went on a rant for the ages about the Eagles.
It was 40 minutes we had recorded, and it was all Eagles. It was beautiful, and it's gone.
I'm so depressed. I'm depressed about the Eagles. I'm depressed that recording.
Yes, because it was
never happened.
But we're going to try to have half the passion that last episode.
Yes. So. I'll see if I can muster up some energy again.
Yeah,
but like I said, the Duck Hodges dynasty is starting in Pittsburgh with a 24-17 win over the Chargers last night. But before we get into all that, I'm going to go over the absolute train wreck that was the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday in Minnesota. The Eagles lost to the Vikings 38-20, and it didn't even seem that close.
Nope.
It was a terrible game all around. The Eagles' defense is absolutely pathetic. Their secondary is, I'd say, on the high school level. I don't know how an NFL secondary can be that bad. I don't understand how there can be so many miscommunications between professional athletes who practice this shit all week and have been doing this for years. Let me get into some of the stats. Kirk Cousins absolutely tore us apart. He completed 22 of 29 for 333 yards, 4 touchdowns, and an interception.
Oof.
Two of those touchdowns were long bombs to Stephon Diggs. He finished with 167 yards for 3 touchdowns. But yeah, those long bombs killed the Eagles. They were down 24-3 before they even had a chance to even get rolling there. It's just killer, man. I don't know what to say about this secondary. I already said it all in the last pod that was not recorded.
It's real hard to go over this.
It's just bad. There were safeties out of position, safeties biting on plays, leaving Diggs running wide open.
Yeah, his two touchdowns were, I mean, the one, there was a guy close, but the second one, it was just nobody in sight.
Nobody.
Yeah.
For within 20 yards.
Yeah.
Like, that's unacceptable.
Especially for a guy like Diggs. Like, you don't let him run free. You know where he is at every second of the play, and twice he did it.
It's embarrassing. I don't know how they can be professionals and not be embarrassed by that performance. But we have a clip from Malcolm Jenkins. He called out the corners after the game. We're going to play that real quick, but then I have a bone to pick with Malcolm as well. Jay, go ahead, roll that.
I mean, this game's not for suckers. So if you aren't confident on the outside, then we can't use you. So we don't mind, you know, that they're challenging the outside of it. You know, we can do what we can to protect them from calls, but at the end of the day, our defense is going to call for guys to be able to go out on the outside and cover.
All right, that was Malcolm Jenkins after the game. You heard it there. He's calling out the corners, basically saying they need to grab their nutsack and man up and play this game. And I agree with them. But what I don't agree with is not also in that clip, but in that same interview, was how Malcolm admitted to leaving the middle of the field on one of Stephon Diggs' long touchdown passes. That was his responsibility, and he bit on a underneath route and left the middle of the field completely wide open. Like,
I think it was the second touchdown.
I get it as a leader of the team. He wants to, like, try to say something, but, dude, learn your own damn responsibilities first.
I mean, he did take – blame. He did say it.
He took blame,
but
as did everybody else in the secondary. But you can't be calling guys out when you're not even doing your damn job.
True. Very true.
You're the leader of that secondary. Get their everybody's shit together. Get it figured out. And go be better.
I thought you were going to go Morty there for a second.
Get it all together. Your shit. Get it together.
Get it all.
So, yeah, you know, you got guys calling guys out. It's not – the Eagles secondary is just not a good
– Right now, just, no. No.
It's not. They can't play Luke Falk every goddamn week. So they need to figure it out. They need to figure it out.
Yeah.
All right, so let me move on to the offense. Wentz had a decent game, 26 for 40, 306 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. His interception came in garbage time where he was just trying to get some chunk plays down the field.
Yeah.
They didn't do much running the ball, but you can't blame them because they were down 24-3 with 10 minutes in the second quarter. You know, they had to throw the whole game.
Yeah.
And this leads me to another issue with the Eagles offense right now, and that is their wide receivers stink.
Yeah.
Their wide receivers stink. Alshon Jeffrey might be the slowest person in the NFL. I would bet my life that Lane Johnson is faster than Alshon Jeffrey right now.
Oh, he's on the juice too, so.
Hey. If that's what Alshon needs to do, fucking do it. Because right now he looks like he's running in quicksand.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so Alshon can't get open because he's too slow. Nelson Aguilar is in witness protection somewhere. He's not on the field. Our other receiver, Matt Collins, has played 105 snaps the last couple games. He has 1 catch for 13 yards.
Yeah.
He can't get open. They can't stretch the field.
In that game, 0 catches, yeah.
Yeah, they can't stretch the field. I don't have this stat up on here now, but I saw something that said that Carson Wentz has like the highest percentage of throws into tight coverage in the NFL. And that's because guys can't get separation. That's they can't crazy. Get open. They can't get open. Then on top of that, they can't stretch the field. He's only averaging like 6.8 yards per pass, which is like 28th in the NFL. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, and their leading receiver yesterday was our second-round rookie running back. Miles Sanders was our leading receiver. And he's been our biggest threat in the passing game these past 3 weeks. He's the only one that can get down the field. He has, like, the Eagles' 5 longest plays this year after week one, after Deshaun has been out, have all been to Miles Sanders.
Yeah, he had a nice 45-yard one yesterday.
Yeah, and that's a problem. Like, you like to see – I mean, that's awesome, you know, that he can contribute in the passing game, but he should not be your main option.
Yeah.
So that brings me to Howie Roseman. Howie Roseman has been absolutely terrible at evaluating wide receiver talent in the NFL. Just terrible. And he didn't do a good enough job getting people behind Deshaun Jackson this year, another speed threat.
No, not at all.
No.
There's nobody.
There's nobody else on this team that can run. Like, this offense is literally all big, slow guys. And you can't win like that in the NFL. You need some speed on the field. Speed kills. I mean, look at what Tyreek Hill does. Look at what the team did when Deshaun's around.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he refused to get somebody in there behind Deshaun. So, and you know, he's a 32-year-old with an injury history. He's only played 16 games once in his career.
No.
So he refused to get somebody behind Deshaun. On top of that, he used a second round pick on JJ Arcega-Whiteside, who had issues in college creating separation in the Pac-12. And that conference is not known for its defense.
Not at all.
So, not only did he not get more speed behind Deshaun, is then he used a second-round pick on basically a Alshon Jeffrey-type player with no speed.
No.
So let's take a look at some of the guys that were available right around there when JJ was drafted. All right, I'm going to include Mecole Hardman in this because he was taken one pick before JJ was.
Okay.
And so, you know, he's like a 4-3 guy out of Georgia. So far this year, he has 16 catches for 291 yards, 2 touchdowns. Nothing crazy, but he's out there, you know.
Good rookie numbers.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
Then drafted, I think, one pick or two picks literally after JJ was Paris Campbell from Ohio State, 4-3 guy. Thanks. Hasn't had a huge year. I know he was hurt early on. Just fast, just speed.
He's straight a monster line speed. Madden too.
Yeah, straight. I don't even care. Straight line speed. He's only put up 10 catches for 62 yards and a touchdown this year. He's still getting involved coming off an injury, but the speed is there. And then taken later in the second round was DK Metcalf, an absolute freak of an athlete.
He's a monster.
230 pounds, ran a 4.3. I know they said coming out that he can't run different routes. I don't care. The dude can run straight down the field pretty fast.
He's a monster who runs fast.
And so far this year, he has 16 catches, 336 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He's averaging 21 yards per catch.
Yeah.
So they passed on him. Let's go to Terry McLaurin from Ohio State. Another speed guy. Another 4-3 guy.
Yeah.
23 catches, 408 yards, and 5 touchdowns so far this year.
And missed the game.
Yeah, and missed the game. Yeah. But speed guy can get down the field, can stretch the defense. And then the Steelers' very own Deontay Johnson.
Yep.
20 catches, 212 yards, 2 touchdowns. Nothing crazy. But he's out there starting for his team, producing, putting up numbers. All right, so let's go JJ Arcega-Whiteside. What's he doing this year, man? What's he doing? Oh, 2 catches for 14 yards. On the entire season. He hasn't even played a snap the last 3 games.
Wow. Second round pick.
And he can't get on the field. When there's guys like Mac Hollins, who has 1 catch for 13 yards in the last 2 games or whatever, he's starting in front of him. So that goes to Howie. I don't even blame JJ for this. I hope he turns out to be a good player. Maybe he might still be a good player. But there is no reason why you take a guy in the second round that can't be out there producing when you see all these other receivers who were drafted in the same area, second, third round, who are contributing something to their team.
Yeah.
And it's not like the Eagles have 4 other all-star wide receivers out there. So that's a problem. Howie Roseman needs to do a better job. And that leads me to this. The Philadelphia Eagles need to sign Antonio Brown.
You said it again.
I had to.
Still doesn't.
If Antonio Brown is cleared by the NFL, if he's not suspended for the year, if these allegations are cleared up with the law, you know what I mean? Then the Eagles need to sign him. I don't care. At this point, they need guys to get open. They need guys who can catch the football, and they need guys who can stretch the field. And Antonio Brown does all 3 of those things better than almost everyone in the NFL.
That's a lot of ifs with that.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. And he's an absolute sociopathic crazy person, and I don't care. I don't care because they are wasting Carson Wentz's talent. They are wasting his talent by – not letting him have anybody to get down the field, so he can't throw it down the field. Nobody can get open, which is causing him to hold on to the ball longer, waiting for guys to get open, which is going to get him hurt again. And Howie needs to do something. I don't care if it's a trade, but or if – just go sign Antonio Brown. If he's cleared, I want AB in green. Let's go. Let's get it done.
Green for 1 game. Look, you got Deshaun coming back. I know you said – what's the chances of him finishing out the year? What's 0%. The chances of AB finishing the year on the Eagles?
I would say better than Deshaun's.
I would not say no. I would take Deshaun's injury history over AB's psychoness.
Listen,
how many
seasons did AB play in Pittsburgh?
8.
All right, and he was really good for 7.5 of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
The craziness just started towards the end of that.
Well, if you listen to some of the stories, there was issues
with him. Yeah. I don't even care. If I'm Doug Peterson, if I'm Howie Roseman, I'd be like, AB, just show up on Sundays, dude. Come get open. Come catch the football. Because, listen, he's better than any receiver the Eagles have, minus Deshaun, I would say. I mean, he's better than Deshaun, but I'm just saying, Deshaun's legit. He doesn't even have to be at meetings. He doesn't even have to practice. He doesn't he could literally show up on Sunday and be better.
You are willing to ruin the chemistry of your team.
What chemistry, dude? They're 3-3. They're a 500 football team. They've been a 500 football team since the Super Bowl.
And it's so unlike you to say something about a player like that. I understand the need, and I understand you seeing like, okay, we need to fix this right now. I don't think it's worth the long term team damage he does.
Listen, man, there ain't gonna be no team damage. If AB came in there and started acting like an asshole, acting a fool, you cut him with no issues. But if he would show up and run routes and get open and catch football, I'll take AB any day. I don't even care.
How many teams was he on this year?
Him and Wentz can call God together.
Okay.
They can get on the same page and they'll win some football games.
I think their religion's a little bit different.
maybe.
Yeah. I don't think we haven't found out yet if Wentz is doing the things AB does. I still have theories on that. But
no.
How many teams has AB played for?
This season. None. He hasn't played for any teams.
He's been on two teams.
He was on two teams. He hasn't played for any.
Well, he played for one.
He played for the Patriots, yeah.
But he was under two contracts this year, and he got cut by both of them because of his off-the-field stuff.
All right, and now he's learned his lesson. He will come to Philadelphia.
If he cannot make it work in New England, what makes you think he's going to come to Philly and be a model citizen for them?
I don't. And I don't even care if he's not a model citizen. Just take your paychecks and go catch footballs. That's all I'm saying.
But now you're saying to him, you have free roam to do whatever you want. We understand your greatness.
As long as he catches touchdowns on Sundays. At this point, that's where I'm at. I don't care.
Jesus.
All right, well, we'll move on from
that. Yeah.
The Eagles were not good. They haven't been good, but they got some help coming back. The return of Jalen Mills this week hopefully should help out. He can't be any worse than what they've had. Yeah. He hasn't played a football game in an entire year. But he's eligible to come off the PUP this week and play against Dallas. Deshaun, Doug had a radio show today. He talked about Deshaun. He said he was running last week, didn't have any setbacks. They're going to step it up this week. And he believes there's a good chance he could play against Dallas. And that's huge because this offense needs it.
You need something. Yeah.
I was up all last night looking at crap. I watched all these videos from 2017. And this offense is not the same. And it's crazy how much it's changed. I don't know if it was Frank Reich or John DeFilippo, who's the O coordinator in Jacksonville now. But they ran so many different things. It was creative. There was like misdirections. They play actions, rolling Wentz out of the pocket, hitting guys open. Just all different. The creative screens they ran.
Yeah. Well, who was the speed guy for that team?
That was Torrey Smith.
Okay.
Yeah. And he wasn't anything special.
No,
but he kept defenses honest.
Yeah, you respect his speed. And that's what you have to do with D-Jax. But the problem is, like you said,
he can't stay healthy.
He can't stay on the field. And you have nobody behind, which that shocks me.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how he's got to do something. I like Robbie Anderson out of New York. I know they might not be willing to trade him, but that's a guy they had their eye on last year. And supposedly offered a third-round pick. But I don't trust Deshaun to be healthy the rest of the year.
Yeah, and I can't even think of anybody else out there that you could go get.
No, other than Antonio Brown. So after yesterday, I was over the Eagles. I was ready to call quits on the season. They look terrible. But then the New York Jets beat the shit out of the Dallas Cowboys.
Bad.
Pretty bad. The Cowboys made it close at the end. They had a chance to tie it on a two-point attempt. But the Jets kind of kicked their ass.
Yeah, they did.
So now we're both sitting at 3-3 going into our Sunday night matchup. And I feel a little better. And then on top of that, Doug Peterson on his radio show this morning had something to say. I'm going to let Jay play that.
Jesus. Technical error. Sorry.
I know the sky's falling outside. Yes. You know, it's falling. And I get that. And the fans are reeling just a little bit. But, you know, we're going down to Dallas, and our guys are going to be ready to play. And we're going to win that football game. And when we do, we're in first place in the NFC East. We control our own destiny. We're right where we need to be. Has it been perfect or beautiful or all of that? No. But all we got to do is try to be 1-0 this week, beat the Dallas Cowboys. We're in first place. And listen, they're reeling too. I mean, they're struggling too. They've dropped their last three games. So this will be an exciting football game.
You sound very confident about Sunday, Doug.
I have to be. I am. I see when I watch the tape, I put the tape on and I go, okay, there's coachable moments and there's teachable moments on the tape that we can get better at as an offense and as a defense. And I'm also, you know, optimistic that some of our, you know, injured players in the secondary will make a return this week and we'll see. But yeah, I got to stay positive, not only for myself, but for the guys in the locker room.
There it is. And just like that, I'm back on the Super Bowl train, baby.
Your faith is restored.
Doug Peterson, we are going to go down to Dallas. We are going to win that football game, and we are going to be in first place in the NFC East. I love it.
Yeah, and it's what he should have said. You want a coach that has that confidence in his team. And he also realizes Dallas just isn't as good as people thought.
No, but neither are the Eagles. So they better go down there and kick their ass. You guys better start running some of those plays from 2017, Doug.
Yeah, you guys have reason, though. There's a lot of injuries on your team.
Dallas, I agree, but
set to run the East. And
well, hey, after they beat the Redskins, the Giants, and
the
Cardinals in the first three weeks. I mean, they're Super Bowl contenders. I don't even know who else they beat, but they're all garbage. But yeah, Doug Peterson, he's got me feeling good now. His press conference coming up at noon. We should have some more information on those injuries and who's going to be able to play this week. But I'm right back in it, baby. So let's go. Even as bad as this game was this past week and as bad as this defense and as bad as this secondary and receivers and everybody played, I'm back in it. I'm ready to go. I'm fired up. Sunday night.
It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a really good one.
Hopefully we'll have our preview show. The Eagles pull that one out. All right, but I'm done. I tried to do as good as the first time. It wasn't as good.
It was still good. It was still all right. Yeah.
Oh, man, the other one was literally 40 minutes long.
You missed maybe the greatest radio show in the history of ever.
It was perfect. At least the best birds in the burg. And I apologize to our fans. I wish you could have heard that. But I tried my best the second time.
Yeah.
All right. So as we opened up the show with Duck Dynasty, Duck Hodges era in Pittsburgh is officially upon us. They started that with a 24-17 win in L.A. They are now 2-4 and actually still kind of in the
crazy
AFC North race because that division sucks. Crazy. Jay, let's hear about that one.
Fred said, 24-17, Steelers beat the Chargers. Man, this was a home game. It was this LA crowd does not support their teams. I don't get it.
It was pathetic. The Rams game too. I don't know if you saw any of that.
No, I didn't.
It was a 49ers home game.
Wow.
49. Yeah, their entire stadium was red. Jared Goff had issues on third down getting the plays called and getting this team lined up correctly because the crowd was so loud. It was like that. And with the Chargers, it was basically
Yeah, it was
Heinz Field.
Yeah, Steelers home game. They go in there 24-17, get the win. Real quick, some injuries to touch on. TJ Watt with an oblique, Connor with a quad, Hayden with a groin. The Connor one's a little concerning because it's just keeps
it's every year.
Every game he misses something with an injury. And then the biggest one is Stephon Tuitt with a pectoral. We're not real sure how serious that is, but this looks like it might be a bad one.
Yeah.
On your end?
That's my baby.
All right. I'm just making sure because I have one sleeping upstairs too.
Yeah, I'm at an hour now.
Yeah, we're good. we'll run through this quickly. The Tuitt injury could be really bad. His arm just collapsed right after the injury happened. So we're going to see.
Looks like a torn pec.
Yeah. We're going to find out something today or tomorrow during Tomlin's press conference. He's been the best player on defense, so it's going to be a huge loss if he misses. So jumping into the game real quick, some quick notes from it. Third downs for the Steelers. They finally got it going. 8 for 13. The running game was really key on this. They picked up a lot of short yardage third downs with the run game. Connor, 16 rushes, 41 yards and a touchdown. 7 catches, 78 yards and a touchdown. Connor looked great. His best game.
I didn't understand the Chargers defense last night. We talked about this during the game.
Yeah, early in that game.
Man, like I would have been stacking that box and just put everything on Hodges.
Forced Duck to beat you, yeah.
They didn't.
It was weird. It was weird because it was like that till I would say the third quarter is when they really started bringing guys down into the box.
Yeah.
When the Steelers were up big. I mean, Steelers were up, I think it was 21-0 at half.
Yeah, and they pressured him into an interception late in the game.
Which was a bad one. But
I just didn't understand. Man, the Chargers. Screw the Chargers, those bastards. I picked them to win 13 games this year in my bold predictions.
Yeah, we both
and they've
had
already
big.
Lost four, so screw them. They suck.
Yeah. Connor caught the ball really well, got banged up. Then Benny Snell came in. Snell had 17 rushes for 75 yards. Looked really tough running the ball. Had a lot of explosion, which you didn't see in the preseason with him. He looked good coming in for Connor. Very happy with the way Snell looked. So I think going forward, 3 good backs for the Steelers should help out a lot. Before we get into what Hodges did, the biggest thing from this game was the defense again. Defense just looked great. Fourth quarter, they really let up. They gave up 17 points in the fourth quarter. Both Chargers TDs were 70-plus yard drives, which you can't have. That defense played great the whole game, and in the fourth quarter.
I think they kind of just took their foot off the gas.
Yeah, they played the prevent stuff. They didn't let anything big over the top, but it was all just not small ball, but mid stuff, couple blown coverages there. 3 turnovers for the Steelers defense, 2 picks, 1 fumble. They also dropped 2 interceptions that were just clear interceptions, and they dropped them. Cam Sutton had a really big game corner for the Steelers, picked to end the game, had a couple good pass breakups. He should be the backup behind Hayden, but they let Artie Burns play. They gave Artie Burns a game ball, saying he had a pretty good game. So if you guys want to trade for Artie, let us know.
No, I don't.
He'll be available. And then Devin Bush. I don't know what else you could say about this kid. Fumble recovery for a touchdown. Had a really good interception off of a tip pass. He was all over the place. Led the team in tackles. Still needs to finish some tackles. I think he had like 5 missed in this game. Really needs to finish up there. And then
you take the good with the bad.
You do. He's a rookie and doing
and
what he does.
Makes big plays.
Yes.
Take a few missed tackles.
Yeah. And then the man, Delvin Hodges.
Camp phenom.
Good.
Hodges.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of hearing about him being like a duck calling. They said that like 40 times on the thing last night.
Yeah.
It's like, all right. We get it, Collinsworth.
He finished the game 15 for 20, 132 yards, a touchdown, and 1 interception. Interception was bad. He stared down Johnny Holton. They jumped the route, picked it.
Yeah. He managed the game well.
Yeah, that's what they asked
for. That's all they need right now with the defense that plays that well.
He didn't lose the game. He made plays when he needed to, and he also made some really good throws. There, one that impressed me that it wasn't even a completion, but they had – it was third and goal, and Pouncey, he missed some snaps yesterday. I don't know what was going on with him, but he snapped it right between Duck's legs, and Duck ran back, got it, and chucked it out of bounds. Got it back to the line of scrimmage, saving a huge loss with a guy in his face.
Yeah.
So he has that
– smart play.
Presence.
Awareness,
you know?
Yep.
Yeah, so – he did what they asked him to do. He didn't lose the game for him. So he looked really – he looked good. Not great, looked good.
Looked serviceable.
Yeah, yeah. Not really much to say about this game. They dominated until the fourth quarter. Yeah. Let him get back into it. Shut him down on the final drive with an interception. Cam Sutton interception. I don't have a rant to
big
go
win.
On. Yeah. Huge win for them.
Got the bye week coming up.
Going into a bye. Then we go to Miami, have Miami come to Pittsburgh, which should be a win.
Yeah.
You hope?
Yeah, Mason should be back.
Yeah, you're going to see what's going on with that. Please don't start with this stuff that Duck should be the starter. He shouldn't. It's Mason's. Mason's the starter. We feel confident we have a third string quarterback that could come in and play. But
yeah, you don't want your third string quarter undrafted rookie free agent quarterback starting a long time.
No.
It will not end well most of the time. He won this week, but
he'll get figured out, and you have to, and later in the year you're gonna have to put the game more on him.
Yeah.
And let's just see. All right. Give Mason a shot. A couple of those games for Mason, they were not calling the game well. And let's just see what he can do.
Okay. All right.
I think that's good. Mine's real short.
Yeah. Big win for the Steelers.
Yeah.
Big pile of shit from the Eagles.
No AB. No AB.
Yeah. Eagles are at Dallas next Sunday night. The Steelers are on a bye. Like we said, we will have our preview show drop on Thursday. We might have another guest on with us to discuss some Steelers things. We'll see how that works out. If not, we'll have a nice quick preview show, and me and Jay might get into a few issues the Steelers had, might not be having now. A win cures a lot of those things.
Yes. Yeah, we'll talk about some stuff.
We'll get back into it. Sorry we deleted our first amazing episode, and you'll never get to hear that.
Yeah.
God, it really pisses me off. My rant was so awesome.
Yep, it was good.
God,
it was good.
It was good.
I want to say, let's give a big shout-out to Matt last week, who was on the show with us.
Yeah, did a great job.
Incredible. We got to listen back to it. He was great. So just big shout-out there.
Got some good feedback. He got to get that off his chest.
Yeah.
The Skins pulled a big victory out.
Yes, they
did. He's probably not too happy about that. He wanted them to lose to Miami.
Oh, yeah.
They almost did. Hey, Miami was within a two. They went for two at the end of the game to win it.
Yeah, and a drop. So, Kenyon Drake dropped it.
But, yeah, he did a great job, and we're hoping we'll have more guests on. On in the future. But yeah, that'll do it for episode 24, round 2.
Yeah.
Jay, tell them where to find us.
Yeah, check us out on all the sites, Twitter at @birds_berg, Facebook. We got a group on there, the Birds and the Berg podcast. Please like, subscribe, and review on all podcasting sites, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Please leave any comments, questions, concerns, anything you have on any of those sites. We will get back to you. We love to interact with you guys. So, yeah, just talk to us.
All right. Sounds good. We will catch everybody on Thursday for the preview show.